Thank you, praise team, and good morning, Northwest Baptist Church. Truly great to be here with you today. I'm excited today for a couple of reasons. First of all, they've both already been announced, but just to speak to them one more time, I'm excited because today we're going to have our Casual Connection event. And what is that? If you are new to this church or you're thinking about joining this church, right after this service today, right below us in our fellowship hall, we're going to have a luncheon reception for you, and it'll be a time to meet with the leadership of this church and just to get to know a little bit about who we are. So maybe you came today and you weren't even planning on that. If so, I hope you plan on staying. We'd love to get the chance to get to know you better. I'm also excited because this is the start of our winter life cycle, which is based on our sermon-based small groups. And I just can't say enough how tremendous it is that our church is doing this. If you really want to grow in your faith, please prayerfully consider this. We have a little sign-up thing, sign-up table right outside the doors when you leave today. There's many groups that are still open. Please seriously pray about that and think about a group that maybe you can join. All right. Over the last few years, I've read quite a bit of books on the subject of leadership, and I felt like, though, that there's something missing in the overwhelming majority of these books. Most of them talk about key leadership principles. They talk about good principles all having to do with leadership, that all leaders definitely need to adapt and practice. But nearly all of them fail to mention one key area of leadership that we must take very seriously. In fact, without it, leaders are destined to fail. What area am I talking about? Accountability. When it comes to leadership, accountability is the idea that leaders must answer to someone for their leadership decisions and actions. And I'm not saying that the idea is never expressed in these leadership books, but I am surprised, I'm quite surprised that it's not addressed more often. But that's probably because leaders by nature, or usually when you think about leaders, they're often rugged individualists because they need to be. They don't always tend to look for or even ask for permission to do what they know is right. In many cases, the leader is the one who has the courage to stand alone, who is not swayed by the pack mentality, who is not intimidated by opposition and criticism, but who instead has the clarity of mind and purpose to stand against the tide and to do what needs to be done. And leaders need this quality, this kind of courageous confidence. There's a balance to this, however. There's a balance, and the balance is that the leader should not be making decisions all on his or her own. The leader should not be making decisions without seeking advice from other people. Every leader who would seek to be a godly leader, who would seek to be a leader that is pleasing to the Lord, must develop an accountability structure. There's a saying, I'm sure that you've all heard it. The saying is, absolute power what? Corrupts absolutely. And where there is leadership without checks and balances, when there is leadership without accountability, there seems to be no limit at all to the kind of damage that a leader can do. We've seen it in oppressive regimes throughout history. We see it even today in places like North Korea. And you see it in business, and you see it in the world of sports as well. When one person has too much power, the decision-making process inevitably goes south. The Dallas Cowboys, actually, I think, are a pretty good example of this. All right, I figured that might get an amen. All right, Jerry Jones is the owner and the general manager, and so he has some pretty good job security. He answers to no one but himself. No other general manager in the NFL is his own boss. And no other general manager in the NFL has performed as poorly as Mr. Jones has for as long as he has and remained gainfully employed. But you can do that when you answer only to yourself. Sadly, though, we see this sometimes in churches. The overwhelming majority of churches have solid accountability procedures in place. However, there have been some churches that were built on the strength of the personality of the pastor. And they have allowed that pastor to have absolute power over his little kingdom with no checks, no balances in place. And too many times it has come to pass that the power has gone to his head and he starts making decisions that should not be made. And the ministry does what? It nosedives. In this country, there are some churches that were once incredible churches with incredible, far-reaching ministries, but they are barely alive today because of the failure to have leadership accountability. And the greatest danger by far for the lack of accountability is in our individual lives, in your individual lives, and in my individual life. That is where the greatest risk is. Our society is such that you can organize your life around the principle that you are your own boss and that you answer to nobody else. In fact, our culture seems to celebrate that. If you're really strong, you don't answer to anybody, is what our culture seems to say. And if you do this, you may very well be admired by many people. However, the principle of absolute power corrupting absolutely does not just apply to dictators. It also applies to dads and moms and to single people and to teenagers and to small business owners and on and on. If you do not set up an accountability structure in your life, please hear me. You are going to find yourself veering off course again and again and again. It will definitely happen. And you'll ultimately make a lot of decisions that will come back to haunt you and hurt those you care about. That's because we're human, and left to our own devices, we are prone to failing. Ultimately, though, each one of us is accountable to God. And this is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 14, verse 12. This will be our key text for today, Romans 14, verse 12. God says there through his servant Paul, he says, "So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Let's pray. Father, we continue to come before you this day, and as we do, Lord, we're so grateful to be gathered in your house, to be praising your name. Father, to be gathered with like-minded believers. Father, we just praise you, Father, that you allow us to do this week in and week out. And Lord, we just ask for a continual outpouring of your Holy Spirit today, that your Holy Spirit would be just set free among us today. And God, with this very painful, sometimes painful, very difficult subject, God, we need your help. We need your help because this teaching, Father, that you have about accountability, it is so contrary to what our culture teaches. In fact, Father, in many cases, the exact opposite of what our culture teaches. But Father, we want to be faithful not to our culture, Father, but to you and to your word. So, Father, we just ask that we would be open to however you might speak to each one of us today. God, we wait on you. We listen for your voice. In the name of your son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Bible teaches that there will be a day when each one of us must stand before the living God and own up to who we are and what we've done. Pretty sobering thought, isn't it? But the Bible says very clearly that everybody here, everybody on this planet, that day will come. The idea of such a conversation can be quite intimidating, to say the least. But it's a conversation that we must all prepare for, because it's a conversation that the Bible tells us, without doubt, it will take place. And I wonder, have you ever taken a few moments in your mind's eye to imagine that day is coming? You will stand before God, and you will give an account of your life and who you are and what you've done. I don't know about you, but that gets my full attention when I read that in Scripture. So how do you get prepared? How do you get prepared for that moment that is definitely coming? Today, I'd like to look together with you at three accountability checkpoints that every leader, every godly leader needs to have in place. For the believer, for those who would say, "I'm a follower of Jesus Christ," there are three areas of accountability that the Bible says are not optional. And since we're ultimately accountable to God, he's given us these three checkpoints of accountability. Here they are. And by the way, this is the first week, and this as we start the life group cycle this week, that inside your bulletin is an insert, and it has the Bible study that we'll do this week in all our life groups, and also has our sermon outline there on the back if you want to follow along. First area of accountability is that you must answer to the rule book. You must answer to the rule book. The Bible says that God shows no favoritism, that we all play by the same set of rules. Sometimes, though, people in power, they kind of kid themselves into thinking that they get a pass on certain rules, but the Bible says that they don't. We saw this attitude in King David in the account given in 2 Samuel chapter 11. David was the king, and as the king, he seemed to believe that some rules just did not apply to him. One evening, he walked around on the roof of his palace, and he saw Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah. He saw her bathing, and he decided, hey, the rules don't apply to me, and he sent for her. Later, he found out that she was pregnant, and he tried very hard to cover that up, and when that didn't work, he had her husband killed. David's attitude seemed to be, I'm the king. I love the Lord, but hey, I can do whatever I want to do. But David soon discovered that that was not the case. The Ten Commandments applied to him as well. We also see this attitude in Moses. While Moses was in the desert, God came to him and told him that he would return to Egypt, that he would perform great wonders before Pharaoh, and that he would lead the people of God out of bondage. So Moses began this journey from Midian back to Egypt. And when he did, he had this incredible confrontation with God because Moses had overlooked one serious detail. He neglected to circumcise his own son. God was furious. Back in Genesis, God had established the covenant of circumcision with all his people, that every male child was to be circumcised. But Moses decided, hey, this rule doesn't apply to me, doesn't apply to my family. And this may have been because his wife, being non-Hebrew, was against it. We don't know, but whatever the case, Moses learned that day in very dramatic fashion that the same rules that apply to everybody else also apply to him. So what did Moses do? Before God allowed him to take even one more step, Moses stopped and he got his house in order and he circumcised his son. Godly leaders take it on themselves to answer to the same rules as everybody else. Bill Hybels, you guys know about Bill Hybels. Bill Hybels is pastor of one of the largest churches in this country. He tells a story about one time when he went to church one evening. He was going to church, and he was in a big hurry. And it was at night, and there weren't many people there. So Hybels decided that he was going to park his car in a place where nobody else is supposed to park. But after all, hey, he's a very busy man. He's the pastor. It's his church. So shouldn't he be able to park there just once? But the next day, a staff member came to him and said, look, I do everything I can to get my team members to follow the rules, even when it comes to making sure that my workers park where they're supposed to park. I try to explain to them that our parking lot rules, they are not arbitrary. We've put them in place for a reason. And then he said, as respectfully as he could, he said, it doesn't help morale when my team members see you acting like you're above the rules that the rest of the staff are expected to follow. When I first heard this story, my very first thought was, I wonder how long it took this guy to find a new job. But actually, Hybels thanked him. He thanked him for saying it, and he told him, he said, you're right. The rules do apply to me just like they apply to everybody else, and I was wrong to park where I did. A parking space. This may seem like such a small thing, but this is where leaders very often lose their credibility. When we act as if the rule book was written for everybody else, but not for ourselves. And when I talk about the rule book, I'm ultimately, of course, talking about Scripture. I'm talking about God's Word. Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 through 17. God says through Paul, all Scripture, all of it is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Each and every one of us, rich or poor, great or small, famous or obscure, are accountable to the same principles of Scripture. What that means, for example, is if you don't have a time alone with God every day, your spiritual life will suffer. It will. If I don't have a time alone with God every day, my spiritual life will suffer. If Billy Graham doesn't have a time alone with God every day, his spiritual life will suffer. It doesn't matter how many books he's written. If the rules are the same for him as they are for you and me. As godly leaders, we have to be aware of this. As godly leaders are aware of this and they make themselves accountable to the same set of rules, then they're pleasing God. When you do this, when you say every part of this applies just as much to me as it does to anybody else, then you're following God the way he wants you to follow him.